Hey guys, Lance Zierlein here. We're Houston. We're the city of champions. How about I give you another champion? If you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. They're champions. Free consultations are available 24/7. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW and DaspitLaw.com.
It's John and Lance.
Do you have any doctors or any intelligence out there at all?
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776, the number. You want to hang with us? We had a few callers call in, and we didn't take them, right, Tom? That's on Eric.
That was on me.
That was on Eric. That was on
me. We're blaming the guest.
Yeah, that was on me. The screen's facing me.
I needed to give John the what's up.
Yeah.
Just ignoring these people.
I know, that's me. Call back, please.
He's with his star mentality.
I'm a little confused, because Eric is replacing a person who, he's sitting in the same chair, and you still, when the other guy's here, the non-star, will take the calls. So, but today it's Eric's fault?
Well, it's Eric's fault. Well, I don't like to look at Lance, that's why.
But you like looking at Eric.
I never look that way when Lance is here.
But you like looking at Eric, so now you can't.
He's got a TV face, you know what I mean?
So now, he's a Hollywood star.
Yeah.
Okay? So,
Eric, would you, in reference to Bill Simmons' podcast, The Rewatchables, are you a that guy? Do you believe you're a that guy? Like, everyone will recognize the face, but not the name?
Yeah, I equate it that guy or a, that guy's probably the best way. I get a lot of airport and you know, the look.
Yeah.
And then did we go to high school together?
Yeah.
No, we didn't go to high school together. No. Where are you from? We went to high school.
You're 70. We didn't go to high school together.
No. Yeah. Did you? Oh, wait. Were you at that conference in Orlando last month? No, I wasn't there. Are you sure? Because are you in pipe retrofitting?
Were you watching For All Mankind in Orlando? Is that what happened, sir?
No, that's not it.
No.
Mm. Yeah. But the best / most awkward is always the, I used to say I'm an actor.
Yeah.
But then you go down this thing of like, that's what it is. What is it? What have you been in?
And then you just tell terrible.
And you like kind of rattle off a few credits and then they go, I don't really watch TV. You're like, well, what are we doing here? What are we doing?
You should do your most obscure and movies that nobody saw.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then people go, no, not that one. And I'm like, all right, well, I'm not going to do this for much longer.
You got to carry a list of all your roles.
Yeah.
Did you like me as Tommy in Purple Haze? Did you like that?
Did you happen to see me as, what was my name in that? In Bar Stars?
Mr. Peanuts, when I was Mr. Peanuts?
Yeah, so I might just have like a QR code.
Yeah.
Maybe like a business card, and I'll just kind of like hand it to them, and they just scan that when you get a minute. You'll see.
Here's my business card.
Yeah, here, and it'll just scan that. It'll take you to my IMDb page, and then that'll do the work for you.
You're that guy.
Yeah, but it is. It's that guy. Just, you know, enough that you're always like, I know that guy. Yeah.
I saw you in that. Oh, I don't remember.
Yeah.
What's your, Ozark would be your most famous?
Ozark was huge, but Mad Men was really big too. When Mad Men was out, it was huge, you know.
And
so was Big Love. American Sniper was a huge movie.
Yeah.
Eric will always be the guy from The Killing for me.
I'll always be the guy from The Killing from Death.
The LA detective.
Bosch. Yep. Always.
Were you in a horror movie where you were like the detective who didn't take the claims by the affected woman seriously?
That's right. And
one of the
you were stupid detective?
The Annabelle series.
Right. There it was.
There it is.
Yep. Yes. Detective. I remember that. So, that's Eric.
That's Eric.
And he's the cop not taking the hysterical woman seriously.
Yeah.
He's playing that role.
Yep. You know that role.
Wait a minute. So you had to play dumb. Like,
well, so the woman's talking about like supernatural things happening. He's like, Garrett's like, okay, sure, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, and a hysterical woman. Yeah. I mean, you've got to,
in that time period, wasn't set in the 70s? Well,
that's right. Yeah. I had a great stash for that one.
You did?
Yeah, it was nice.
He's a detective in the 70s, some hysterical broads going crazy.
Did you tell her to calm down? Ma'am, can you
her
come?
Name is Annabelle Wallace. Great actress.
No, I'm not the woman.
No, I know. Yeah, I know. Okay. I'm just saying. Yeah, you might know her because you watch a ton of TV.
Yes, I recognize that name. John, you would recognize her face. She was Tommy's girl
Peaky Blinders.
Peaky Blinders.
Oh.
The blonde woman.
Annabelle Wallace.
Yes.
Yeah. Wallace, there she is.
Yep. Beautiful, great actress.
Oh, yeah.
But hysterical.
Oh,
in this.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. In that role, she was the hysterical woman in Eric. He's not going
to
take her seriously.
Wait a minute. I can't believe that Annabelle Wallace you wouldn't listen to, even if she's hysterical.
Well, Eric's.
She's fine enough where you go, all right, I know she's a little
that's,
nuts. But
that's
look how
you
nice
operate.
She
that's, what does she look like? Is yeah, how you
see,
operate.
Like, that's how I operate on everything.
Yeah, I'm a professional detective. You know, I can't be swayed by beauty.
Oh, see. You're not okay. That's an unbelievable role because all detectives would go, no way. Yeah. I'll be able to put up with this.
Yeah. Detective Clarkin was his name.
There it
Detective
is.
Detective Clarkin?
Yeah. Clarkin. Yeah. Yeah. Clarkin. Yeah.
Oh, no. She's a very, very pretty girl. Very. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, she died. And I don't want to give it away. Peaky Blinders.
Well, by the way, that's a good rewatch, Peaky Blinders.
Yeah. Because now. You More than half of it, I didn't have
the subtitles.
The subtitles.
Oh, you can't do that.
No. I mean, so I missed probably a 90%.
Yeah.
Because you can't understand any Peaky Blinders. It's almost like Snatch.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. No, you need subtitles for Peaky Blinders.
Yeah.
For sure.
Absolutely.
That's a good rewatch. Some shows don't hold up. That one's a good rewatch.
Yeah.
And you'll remember that you will have forgotten things that happened. So it's actually kind of
You
nice.
Like Guy Ritchie movies?
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah. We just watched The Gentleman.
Yeah.
On Netflix, Guy Ritchie show.
Yeah.
Did you watch that?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did.
Great.
It was good. It was really good. The new movie that's out is The Ministry of...
Oh, it looks great.
It's pretty good. It's pretty
I've not
good.
Seen it.
It's actually... Well, I can't believe it's a... It's based on a true story, right?
But it's...
And actually, at the end, they tell you what happened to these people and these guys, and it was like, wow, this is actually something. Now it's obviously, you know,
Guy Ritchie
elaborated,
does his thing. Sure,
yeah, for the movie. But man, it's cool. It's really cool.
Yeah, I will because I'm a fan of his.
Yeah, I am too.
He does good stuff.
Yeah, 812 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776 if you'd like to get in here, talk to Eric, find out, just ask him about any of his roles, okay, and what you think of how he portrayed whatever. See, I criticize.
Yeah, he's looking
detective.
For notes from the listeners.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, please.
If you've got
if you have any thoughts any or notes about the way I approached a certain character,
there are directors he didn't appreciate giving them notes. You think he wants to hear from them?
I want to hear from.
Yes,
you know,
please.
I want to hear from John.
From Larasa. He wants notes from Larasa about a role.
Here, I think you should approach this next time you play him. Well, that movie's over, so I won't ever play him again.
Yeah, but if you ever get a role similar,
right.
Do it this way.
Yeah,
let's go to Stephen in Angleton. He has some thoughts on the way you approached Detective Clarkin.
So, anyway, I had some thoughts on Detective Clarkin. I don't believe it.
Obviously.
He's an unbelievable character to me. If Annabelle Wallace is sitting there, you're going to go, well, it's okay, Annabelle, whatever. 713-780-3776. Look, I've been talking about this, and my wife even said, okay, when are you going to get a hold of Ownwell? Because it's coming down, and it's coming down to it. Harris County, you have until May 20th to file your protest. They give you a time limit. That's it. You can't do it afterwards. So this is the time right now. You're running out of time. Have you protested your property taxes? See, we have to worry about this. Like, Eric has to worry about California income tax. The state income tax, we don't worry about that. What we worry about is property taxes. Because if you own a home, the government's going to screw you. It's just what they do. The government does this every single time. They never, ever, oh, yeah, your house is worth less. Don't worry about it. That's what the government never, ever, ever says. What they say is, oh, no. We appraise your home at this cost. Therefore, you pay us this much in taxes. And that's how the government gets over on you. 86% of Ownwell's customers save on their property taxes. 86%. That's how often the government is wrong. That is ridiculous. An average of $1,148 in savings. That is ridiculous. Okay? So if you're looking for a great way to cut back on your taxes this tax season, save money on your property taxes with Ownwell. And if they don't win, you don't pay. Nothing. Okay? You only You only have to pay if you save. Sign up in less than 3 minutes. Start your protest today at ownwell.com. Save money on your property taxes with Ownwell. Sign up in less than 3 minutes and start your protest today at ownwell.com. That's ownwell.com.
ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
I'm looking through my news of the weird stuff. Netflix edits out Kim Kardashian getting booed at Tom Brady's roast. Did you? You watched it on tape. Did you? So you didn't see them on, well,
VHS,
not tape,
yeah.
On VHS.
But, yeah, no, I didn't watch it on that.
Well, that's what I still...
Yeah, you still, you still, still record it on VHS?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like you hit the red button?
Yeah. Actually, on my phone, I do record my television with the red button.
Mom, hit the record button.
Yeah, no, right. Mom, you taped over it.
You taped over it.
Anyway, Kim, they edited out Kim getting booed at Tom Brady's roast. America doesn't like. I mean, she's famous because she's famous. That's all.
It's but like, that's, well, but that's wild to think of all the things that were said at that roast. All of the things, the disparaging things that were said to people at that roast, and they edit out the boos of Kim Kardashian.
Maybe they have a relationship they're trying to build. Maybe they've got a deal in the works.
Yeah,
so
that is
let's not crush that before
it
begins.
Because people watch Kim Kardashian and stuff.
Yes. Yeah. So I'm sure.
I like to say those people because it's not me.
No, not you.
You're probably right.
Protecting
a
relationship.
Yeah, I know that. Yeah, Hulu. There's a story about that.
Well, she's in one of those American Horror Story anthology series.
Yes.
At least she's featured on the billboards and stuff.
Yeah.
So that, and we were talking before of all the things that Tom Brady would not have at his roast, all the things said about his wife, all the things said about Kim Kardashian, all the things said at this thing. The only thing that bothered him was the massage.
The craft
massage.
Yeah.
That was the only thing.
I mean, he got out of his seat and went over and whispered in Hart's ear.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Say that again.
I don't know who tweeted it, but someone said, oh, Netflix paid Tom Brady $30 million so everyone can call his ex-wife a hoe.
Yeah.
He kind of wins.
Yeah. Right.
He sat there.
At the end said, I missed the love of my life. Football.
Yeah. It's his ex-wife. Now, we can talk about the relationship stuff and embarrassing him. But for the most part, he sat there and they took shots at her for the jiu-jitsu guy. And he got paid to be there.
Right. Exactly. Well, yeah. And, yeah, everybody's taking big shots at her.
Yeah.
That's great. Let's get Chris in here. He's got a legitimate acting question. What do you say, Chris?
Hey, what's up, guys? Love the show. Love it when you're on, Eric, and giving your feedback. My favorite show is Six. My wife and I used to watch that show a lot, so it's kind of crazy it got canceled. I thought it was a good show. But how does it work, like, when you're in between jobs and you want to pick up extra stuff? Does your agent, like, look for roles or small time or big time, or, like, do you just kind of keep your ear to the street? I was just curious. And then, like, what's the difference in looking for a role in a pilot episode or a pilot, I guess, series versus trying to pick up maybe when a current show needs extra, extra actors? And so I've always just kind of wondered how that process worked, and I'll hang up and listen. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, appreciate it, Chris. Thanks. So it's all the same. It's your agent. It's your agent is procuring your work, agent and manager. But so when you're on a series, obviously you've got there's different capacities you can work on a series. But as a series regular, like using Six for an example, which is like somebody who's on every episode. So you're one of the leads of the show or a series regular, then you're contractually obligated to that series. So it's a little tougher to go do other stuff on the side. In between seasons, however, you can then go work on other series, but not as a series regular. So you can go work as a guest star.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Now, some of that is starting to change because we used to live in a world in which there was only a few months between seasons, but now there can be almost 2 years between a season. which is extreme, but there could be a year and a half depending on when they air it and then when they pick it up. And so for that reason, they've become a little bit more lenient on being able to go do another series. So I could maybe do, if I was on six and we didn't know if it was going to get picked up for another season, I could maybe go do another limited series in between as long as it wasn't going to conflict, right? But that's called second position. So if six or whatever series I was on ever needed me, they've got me in first position and they trump.
And so, movies you can always do, right?
Movies you can always do as long as the schedule works. Whenever you're on a series, they have you in what's called first position. Gotcha. So as long as they give you written out, then you're fine and you can go do something else.
Yeah.
But a lot of times those other things.
At any point, they could kill you.
At any point, they can kill me. Right. I mean, you know, I've been killed a lot. Oh. A lot. And I mean,
not as much as Boromir.
I mean, on For All Mankind, I got killed, and the guy I play is still living and breathing today.
They just decided. Well, it's an alternate history, but they just murdered. It was an explosion where you got killed.
That's right. Yeah, just talking about cheeseburgers and bam.
Did you know beforehand they're going to kill you, or did they?
I did. Yeah, okay. They called and told me. They called.
No,
and
I meant when you signed up because you did your. You probably found out this guy was alive. Oh, I got a long time here, and then
I told my wife when I signed up to do the show, it was going to be, you know, six episodes. But I told my wife, I said, well, the good news is if it's going the right direction, they can't kill me. The guy's living. So, like, this could end up being, like, kind of a long job, which is great. It's in L.A. It's close. It's fantastic. We shot at Sony. Awesome. And, no, not so much. Not so much. It just blew my...
They still killed you.
It blew my ass up.
And you're living.
And I'm like, when they called to tell me, I said, but wait a minute. But he's still alive. Like, he did a... I read an article that he...
Yeah, it's an alternate history, Eric. We're doing things here. Don't worry about it.
BK interviewed this guy last week.
BK did?
Well, in the series, I know, there's like a space war. They take weapons up to space.
Because, it is.
So it's an alternate history of the space race. So things are happening like Eric getting killed when the guy's still alive.
So you're never safe in Hollywood.
No, never.
Safe. Never. Never safe.
Even when you're alive.
Even when your guy's alive.
Even
you're
when
never
he's still
safe.
Alive, you're still not safe.
No.
That's funny. That's funny. No. What about Gilbert?
Wait, have you been killed? He mentioned Boromir. Have you been killed more times than Sean Bean has in a movie?
No, Sean Bean.
In movies?
I don't know. I'm probably up there. I'm getting there.
Sean Bean has been killed in everything he's in.
For the most part, yeah.
I mean, early in my career, if I wasn't in an orange jumpsuit, I was being killed. Like, it was one of those two. Yeah, but I was...
Okay. And I see a lot of, how do you do the death scene where you're sitting and you're dead and you're on screen a long time?
Mm-hmm.
And you're not breathing? And not breathing.
Well, you're breathing.
I know you're breathing.
Yeah, you're breathing.
Because you're not really dead.
That's where all that breath work comes in, John.
But
and breath work that I did in college.
Some of you are really good at that. You must be really good at that.
Well, yeah, because I've died so many times.
You've got a lot of training at it. But I see a lot, and I'm like, I'm just waiting. I'm looking.
Let me see the eye twitch. Will do it.
Yeah.
The eyes sometimes will.
I mean, how do you do it?
You just
especially
you
just when they're moving
meditate.
You around and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, you just can meditate a little bit.
You do?
Yeah.
That's a great. You're a great, great actor.
Thank you.
But are you good at dying? Not good at being dead, but are you good at dying on screen? Like you get shot or you get strangled?
How long do you drag it out?
Well, it depends. It depends on if you get shot, if you get strangled, if you get stabbed.
Right.
You know, somebody injects you with poison. I mean, how are we dying? You know what I mean? It just depends.
Let me know.
Electrocution. I mean, I've got to know, and then I've got to watch
my
YouTube
clip. What's my motivation here?
I mean, I don't want anybody going through my YouTube history because there's a lot of, watching people die from poison or overdosing on drugs.
Right.
You know, when I overdosed in Ozark, I started to watch a ton of, overdose stuff. And then we put Alka-Seltzer in my mouth. And then, so right before action, I would take about a half an Alka-Seltzer, put it in my mouth, and then water and gargle. And so it would start to bubble. So by the time I fell down the stairs and landed, and Ruth came over and she was on top of me, it's literally like, you remember when you used to do volcanoes in school and you drop the baking soda and it would just go, that's all happening in my mouth. And so I have to just hold it until finally I go, pwah! And it just spurts all over Ruth and all over the place.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, just little tricks
like
that.
Little trick. Yeah. That's nice. Well, you didn't have to die, though. You had to stay alive.
I stayed alive there. Yeah.
You stayed alive
there,
which was nice.
With an EpiPen.
Yeah, which was nice. How do you die when you're OD'ing? It takes a while. It takes a little while.
Yeah. I mean, I worked on, the OD part of it. And then what does it look like when somebody stabs you with an EpiPen?
Oh.
Kind of like Pulp Fiction type.
Yeah, right,
one
right,
of those
right.
things. And
Uma Thurman.
And then Uma Thurman. Yeah. That was the famous one. And they didn't really want anything so big and broad. So it was really just about like finding a middle ground there of like what it looks like, that jolt of like adrenaline that just hits your heart like bam.
You know? But you're not going to win an Emmy just giving it half-ass
EpiPen. No. I'm not going to win an Emmy doing four episodes at Ozark anyway. So.
Why not?
but you know, I'm like JV. I'm going to keep working. I'm just going to get back at it.
I'm going to go back at it tomorrow.
I'm just going to get back at it tomorrow. Oh, yeah.
Damn it. We got to get that Emmy.
Yeah. Okay? Oh, we'll get the Emmy.
The EpiPen Emmy.
Yeah, we'll get the Emmy.
Okay.
All right.
Get the Emmy. You know what? There's a line now between... I know Gilbert's up there. We'll get to him on the next segment because Gilbert wants to talk to you.
I love it.
He wants to find out if you've got that picture for him.
Well, he didn't mention Eric by name.
He didn't?
No. Oh. It was an Astros call.
Well,
right. And is Lance there?
He's going to ask, where's Lance? Where's Lance?
We can't tell you.
What picture?
I actually don't know where Lance is.
We've got to find out whether or not. Lance has the picture, by the way.
I refuse to get into his personal life because it bores me. But, does he have the picture?
Lance does have the picture.
Okay. Well, he better bring it.
Well, he just didn't. And now we get the after effects.
Bear the brunt of everything. Yeah,
right. We also got, here's what we got going on right now, is your roof. Now, I mentioned Yanni, and how about this? Yanni's is our greatest customer. Yeah, that's right, Art. My buddies are actually using, and you know what? Because he's smart. So he told me last night, he goes, I need your roof guy. I said, oh, Brinkman, absolutely. Well, they'll come. And his roof is shiny, okay? When your roof is shiny, something is wrong, okay? Your shingles are old. Your shingles are not holding up, and they won't hold up. Now, we just had the floods and all kinds of stuff here up north. You think that can't happen here? If we get deluged with rain and your roof doesn't hold up, the insurance company is not going to pay you because you have done no maintenance on your roof. If you don't maintain your roof, the insurance company won't pay when you need them to pay. So Brinkman comes, and they will give you an evaluation, and they will fix whatever it is, and then you have proof, documented proof that you worked on your roof. And when you have that documented proof, then the insurance company has no argument against you. So if you haven't done anything with your roof in a long time, right now, call 281-480-7663. 281-480-7663. Or go to Brinkman, Brinkmann, quality.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Listening to Houston's longest running sports radio morning show from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You've dealt with Gilbert before, right?
I think I've met Gilbert before, yeah.
You met him?
Or you know, online, like on air.
Yeah. He's been on when you've been on.
He's called. Yeah.
Well, he's on again, and he wants, I don't think he's happy about the Astros. We'll see. Do you think he's happy about the Astros, Del?
He called in not very enthused and said, I want to talk with the Astros.
Okay. Mm. I would imagine he's none too pleased with our team right now.
I don't know why.
No. Gilbert.
Yeah, how you doing, gentlemen?
Good. What's going on? How about them Astros?
Not so good anyway.
No, I think you're right. I think you're right about that. Yeah. You watch them last night?
What?
Did you watch?
You watched game last night.
You what?
Terrible, terrible game. Oh, anyway.
Terrible game. Yeah, I know. JV was terrible. What? Did you ever get your picture of Colleen Wolfe?
No.
You didn't get it? I think Lance.
I didn't. Why?
Lance has it.
Lance got it?
Yeah, I think so.
What?
Yeah. What? Yeah, I think he's got it, Gilbert.
Why did he don't send it to me?
I don't know why he didn't send it to you. I don't know. Does he have your address? Maybe you should go to his house and get it.
He's out of town this week, right?
Yeah, he's out of town. Yeah, Gilbert's listening to the show. And we didn't think Gilbert listened, but he's listening. Do you know Eric? Have you met Eric?
I don't got it anyway.
You what?
I don't got it. I don't have the picture yet.
Oh, you don't have the picture? Okay. Do you know Eric?
Eric from where?
Eric Layden. He's a big he's a big movie star. He's in studio with us right now.
Oh, how you doing, Eric?
I'm good, Gilbert. How are you doing, man?
What kind of movie did you play on anyway?
Yeah, what kind of movie?
Here we go, Gilbert. Here we go.
Tell them the movies you've been in.
Gilbert, you just that was perfect timing. I didn't know Gilbert was a comedian.
Gilbert, did you ever watch Ozark?
No.
No. Bosch?
No, I didn't watch Yellowstone anyway. No,
yeah. What's the last movie you have watched,
Gilbert?
Yeah, let's
start. I think that's probably where we should go that way.
Let's go through your movies.
What kind of movie you watch? Let's see what the name of the movie again.
Did you watch The Godfather?
No.
You didn't watch it? Okay.
Not into the classics.
Did you watch any of the Spider-Man movies?
No.
Iron Man?
I don't think he's a Marvel guy. Maybe he's a DC guy. What about an Aquaman?
No.
How about Batman?
No chance.
Yeah, you've seen Batman.
Which Batman? The Adam West Batman?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, you've seen that.
Batman.
Yeah, okay. Right. Have you ever watched Gilligan's Island?
Yeah.
Have you, Eric, were you on Gilligan's Island?
I was not. No, I wasn't on that. I auditioned for it, but I didn't.
You weren't on it?
I was not on it.
Okay.
No.
Okay, he wasn't on that. You ever watched The Love Boat?
Yeah, I watched The Love Boat.
Yeah.
Okay, I was on that.
You were on The Love Boat?
I was on The Love Boat.
You were?
Yeah. Yeah, I was on Love Boat. Yeah.
Huh, with Isaac?
What year?
I was on Live Boat, God, mid-80s.
Mid-80s Love Boat?
Mid-80s Love Boat. Wow. Early Love Boat.
You look good for your age. Yeah. Me and Gilbert, we used to watch Love Boat.
Well, these are all TV shows.
Right.
Does he watch movies?
Well, Gilbert can't remember any movies he's watched.
Did you watch Debbie Does?
No, see. That's...
Yeah. Gilbert?
Yeah.
Yep, he watched that.
Have you watched the movie called Debbie Does?
What was the name of the movie again?
Never mind.
Gilbert.
No, Gilbert, don't answer him. Don't answer the bad man.
Okay? I'm not the bad man.
Yes, you say something.
I'm not a villain in a kid's movie.
Are you in any sports that Gilbert might have watched?
Sports movies?
Yeah.
No sports movies.
No.
All right,
that it.
All right.
Well, next week Lance has the picture of Colleen Wolf. You're gonna have to get it somehow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right.
Talk to you later.
Okay then.
All right, gentlemen. Bye bye. He's still. I thought he was still there.
He is. Okay.
Does Gilbert eat? Like, does he chew Ambien in the morning?
He's a narcoleptic.
Yeah, he'll fall asleep in the middle of a conversation.
Yeah. Sounded like it.
Yeah.
No. No. I just picture him on like a Barca lounger.
He calls my wife at the TV station.
Okay.
Daily.
Okay.
And by the time the answering machine says, "This is Wendy Granato, leave a message," he's snoring.
So he's narcoleptic.
Yes.
Yeah. Has he ever? He falls
asleep. We have him in the background here sometimes snoring while we just talk, and we leave him on the
because like by the time Dell picks him up and just puts him on hold,
he's asleep.
Yeah.
What does he do for a living that he's so tired?
a living?
Yeah, I want to know.
I want to know more about Gilbert. Gilbert's up late at night.
Well, yeah,
my Debbie Does question wasn't out of the blue.
It was, no reason.
There's some Gilbert, background there.
Actually, there was one that he admitted to us when he was at Nick's place. There was a movie that had the Gilligan's Island theme.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That he watched.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
And it's generally always been VHS.
Yeah.
So
So when John made that joke about, or misstep about recording and tape, Gilbert would be the guy that would actually do that.
He still has a VHS. Yeah.
I can, that tracks. I mean, I feel like I could see him in like a recliner right now in a very dark room. Very dark room with just a radio.
And the
recliner is not leather, so it's harder to clean.
It's cloth?
Yeah, it's cloth. It's cloth. Yeah, yeah.
And here's the problem. He still lives with his mom. And
For sure.
So that's why he's tired all the time, because it's got to be the middle of the night.
Right, yeah. And does he live with his mom? Do you know this?
No, it's, that's real. Yes.
We've been to his house.
You've been to whose house?
Gilbert's.
Don't never him, been gave to him money.
House. I've been to Gilbert's. Gave I him money. We gave him $1,000 one Christmas.
Donated. $1,000.
Yeah. Wow. Listeners donated and all Gilbert. Kinds of stuff, all gifts and
he's
everything.
He's an institution.
And he was just like, yeah.
Yeah, what's the next thing?
How about a picture from Colleen Wolfe? We didn't bring that.
Sorry about that.
Are you going to, did he ask to have the picture laminated?
Well,
I mean, we've assumed that before.
That's got to be
yeah.
You can't just print that off like your regular printer and think that's going to survive.
No.
I need another one. Anyway.
Yeah. Wait, what do you need another one for?
They don't make ink.
Send me 40 copies.
Colleen Wolfe says, and honestly, you would expect this. She says, I don't just have pictures of myself laying around that he might want. Can I print a picture? We're like, no, you can't print one. That's not what he's looking for.
Because he'll need another.
But so internet, like, not an option.
Apparently not.
Right.
I don't think he knows about that.
So. Right. Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure. The thought would just go to Instagram.
He's definitely calling from a landline.
Yes.
For sure.
Yes. He definitely is.
Yeah.
And at times we've heard his mother in the background yelling, Gilbert, hang up the phone.
Gilbert, hang up the phone.
Yes.
And the other extension.
Because he's.
And you still have that?
I mean, I was not part of this place for a while. I think some stuff has been purged. Oh. When I did grab that at one point. It might be gone. But yeah, so Gilbert, landline,
no, I'm
recliner.
I'm putting it all together now.
Late nights.
This is a character I could play.
Well, you better.
I'm just, because that's, I'm right now, I'm just taking all this in for a character.
You better get it cleared. You better.
That's it.
Wow. You can write this trip off.
What?
Yeah, you could write this trip off.
Huh?
No character work. Do you want to interview Gilbert to get more?
What? Yeah.
Well, if you really want to go in, you got to call your local at Los Angeles news anchor and just hound her because a restraining order is also what he got.
Yeah, that is a restraining order has been in play, yes.
With her? With him?
With a news anchor here.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
So, I like that he he's very deep. He's very between like news anchors... radio personality. Kind of his.
Got a history, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I like that. Yeah,
and they're
Olivia Newton-John. He's got that.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah. Okay.
And celebrities, that he.
There are layers to his obsessions, I guess.
Yeah.
He's deep.
Luckily, I'm too young.
No question.
For him to know.
A little history of Gilbert.
And
I said, you write the whole trip off now.
Yeah.
You've been doing some role playing.
No.
I wouldn't call it role playing.
We call it research.
A character study on Gilbert.
In case you ever play a character like Gilbert.
Yeah. Not in case. This is getting written.
It is.
Yeah, as a starring in my head role? Right now. No,
sometimes you have to write stuff for yourself.
This is just a great character to have in
maybe
a
passion project by Eric. He writes the Gilbert movie.
He's got that in his, now it's in the closet.
But the problem for you, Eric, because of Hollywood, you can't play Gilbert. He's Gilbert Liu, so you can't play Gilbert.
Yeah, you have to be Chinese.
Oh, is he Chinese? Yes.
Yeah.
Wow, that throws a whole wrinkle in all of this.
You're going to have to cast this.
Yeah.
I
can't appropriate the community.
You can write it, but you can't play it.
Right.
I did not see that coming.
No.
So
is he Chinese?
He's Chinese. He's Chinese. Gilbert Liu. In fact, he has a phrase about when we ask him if he has money.
Yeah, Gilbert, you got any money? I'm a poor China.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Chinese.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, that.
So maybe you're rethinking.
You can Americanize him.
Well, he's going to have to pay tribute.
Yesterday, I was driving down Shepherd, maybe, and there was a place called Hunan Palace, and it looked like the kind of place that was like maybe a front, because it looked like no way anybody would eat at this place. Like it was super shady. And now I'm thinking, I know who eats there.
Well, yeah.
I know who eats.
He doesn't get out of the house.
I know who gets takeout from Hunan Palace.
Hunan Palace. Well, we got a bunch now
of Hunan Palaces.
Of
this one was not buffets.
Was it a buffet?
I don't know. Okay. I didn't investigate.
Didn't look like.
Yeah, I didn't investigate.
You didn't.
No, stop.
It looked like a type of place that was just like maybe like laundering.
You wait. Okay, there's
no
a
cars.
Lawsuit waiting to happen here. Yeah.
Okay, so we'll be careful.
We got to be.
Okay.
Yeah, this is on.
Yeah, I
got this, you. Okay.
I don't think we can accuse a local business of potential laundering.
Yeah.
Okay.
He thinks they may be a
laundry service.
A laundry service. Yeah. Okay. Exactly. Like on the street.
Wash your clothes.
I'll just say words matter.
Right. That's all. Okay. Copy that.
Yeah. Laundry.
Delivery matters.
Laundry service.
Right.
Yes.
Not launderer.
No. Yes. Laundry service.
Laundry service. Okay. Yeah.
And it's just one man's opinion. That's all.
Just me.
One man.
Not even from here.
Okay, that guy.
You're being stereotypical now. Oh, really? An Asian place is a laundromat? Okay.
Well, now he's got you boxed in.
Yeah. Okay.
You actually better pretend to be Gilbert. Because Gilbert could get away with it.
What? Yeah,
Gilbert can. Okay. Can we call them? No, can we call the movie Hides Ho Princess? No,
that's not a movie Gilbert would watch.
That's not it. 845 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here's something that you should do if you dip. And you know what? And I mentioned this before. If you want to start to dip because your buddies are all dipping, don't do it. But if you have to, we got hemp in a pouch made of hemp. It's not tobacco. It's not nicotine. It's not dangerous. It has CBD oil. You're still getting that sensation that you know, your buddies are all dipping, so you got to dip. No, you don't. You don't have to. You don't have to dip nicotine. You don't have to endanger your life. You don't have to endanger your jaw. You don't have to have that nicotine in your body, but you can have the flavor that they have. You can have the still sensation between your cheek and gum. If it's something that you really want to do, do it safely with 975DIP.com. You need to not, and if you are dipping, then you need to stop, okay, because it is dangerous. And there's been plenty of instances of people that really have health problems because of dip. So get off it, stop it, or if you're going to start, if you have to start, start it safely. 975DIP.com. That's 975DIP.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
None of that.
Welcome back. 848 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
None of that.
We started the show, talking about the Astros.
Mm-hmm.
And Dana Brown was on, okay? He was on MLB Network. And Brian Kenny asked a lot of the questions that we've been asking. One was about Ryan Pressly. One of them was about Ryan Pressly. And this is something that we've been talking about for a while. When Josh Hader came and he took over the role of closer, you know, there was a lot of stories about how Pressly played the good soldier. He was mm-hmm. He took it all in stride. But he's not good, right? None of them are good. Hader's not good. Abreu's not good. None of them are good. But this was supposed to be, a great. This was. And Brian Kenny asked, why'd you bring Josh Hader on? Why'd you play that much for a closer? Well, we figured when we get to the 7th, 8th, and 9th, we're going to be awesome. And we're not.
No,
we're not. And then Brian Kenny asked the question, so do you think the demotion has made Pressly stink this year? And here is Dana Brown.
Yeah, I think it's just a slow start. Ultimately, Pressly's a gamer, a competitor. Sure, I think mentally when it first happened, I think, there was some thought there like, man, I've been really good at this role. Why am I being replaced? So, I mean, I understand that part. But ultimately, when it's time to strap it on, these guys will get after it. I just think it's been unfortunate that we've gotten off to this slow start. But I don't think it affects the guys that are really good competitors, throughout their entire career. I mean, Pressly's going to go out and give you his heart and his soul every time out. It's just that early on, we're off to this slow start.
I agree with that. When you get the ball and you go out to the mound, it's not like, wow, I'm not closing now. No, you're trying to get guys out.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is kind of like nuanced a little bit. Dana Brown has to understand.
I did get a demotion, right?
Yeah, I absolutely got a demotion. But also,
closers are so fragile for some reason. Like, closers have this, that we've gotten to this place where closers, if they're not closing,
right,
then all of a sudden they can't go out and get three outs.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, so Josh Hader had a comment the other day in an article that said, they ask him, what's going on? Like, you're going in all these games. They're non-save situations. They're tie games. And he says, well, guys, their approach to me is different in a tie game than it would be in a closeout situation. Right? But, well, then you adjust, dude. You're getting paid $95 million. Yeah. Then you adjust.
He also said the other day, oh, I had good stuff. He just hit. Wait a minute, dude. You put one right over the plate to Raleigh. With an in an 0-2 count.
Right, when you have plenty of room to spoil it.
Right,
yeah.
Yeah. You could have tried to fool him a little bit or whatever, and you didn't do that. Now, the demotion thing, I don't know if that plays. Listen, when Ken Giles was the closer here, if it wasn't a one-run lead in the ninth inning, Ken Giles sucked. He could not come in a tie situation.
Right.
He couldn't come in with a three-run lead because he – and Ryan Pressly's a lot like that too. With a three-run lead, Ryan Pressly's going to let two runs in, and then you're going to be to a bases loaded.
And
oh, he got out of it.
Right.
He got a save.
Right.
Awesome.
I mean, I guess because with the three-run lead, bottom of the ninth, like, you know, you can give up a home run ball, right? You can give up a solo shot, like whatever.
Your approach is different.
And your approach is different. But I just – I don't understand how these guys are so fragile. I don't understand how they can't adjust. If the batters are going to adjust, why can't you adjust?
Right.
Like, you have, you know, your job, yes, is to close out a game, and I understand that. But ultimately, if you peel the layers back of the onion, your job is to get outs.
Three outs.
Just go get outs.
About three.
Just go get them.
But here's the thing is, and you think, you know, well, the starters, you know, hey, they've got to get 18 outs or 21 outs if they go seven innings. You know, and you know what? They don't give up. You can't get three. You can't get three outs. Well, our starters are proving that we can't get three outs anymore in the first inning without giving up runs. Okay.
It's also like this, like mentally, this team has this thing where they, and we saw it all last year, they can't win at home, right?
Yeah, right.
On the road. And it's like it's gotten into their heads. And so, again, I go back to, like, they legit need, like, a sports psychologist on this team. Because they've got, like, these guys aren't right. And they're not different guys. We're not talking about a different team.
Yeah.
We didn't lose guys. We didn't bring in a whole new crop of guys. It's the same damn team that won for 6 years.
And it's so...
And they're not right.
And it's so funny. The only guy that's clutch right now is Kyle Tucker. And he was so terrible in the postseason last year.
Yeah.
He was awful. And he's the only one right now. All the guys that were clutch suck.
Yeah.
But Abreu was great in the postseason last year in the Minnesota series. He was awesome. Home run, three homers in that series, I think. And suck. Jordan, suck. Altuve. Altuve's great. His average is great. Except with runners in scoring position, can't hit.
Yeah, but they're all pressing, right? Like, which is crazy to think that a team that has gone to all these World Series and played in all these high leverage situations is pressing in May, but like they're clearly pressing. They're, you know, other than Kyle Tucker, who, and maybe it's because he, you know, kind of has like a I don't give a hell attitude, you know what I mean? And he, and you know, guy rarely takes batting practice. I think he shows up a little bit before the game, from my understanding. Like, you know, and maybe that's it. Maybe that's just this like kind of. He, you know, it kind of lets it roll off, you know, his back. And
well,
so.
Well, he didn't last postseason.
No.
You know, but he's.
But no, but he was able to flush that, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, right,
you know what
right.
I mean?
Yeah, because I don't care.
Like, whatever. You know, like, I don't care.
And I'm still making, you know, I know my big contract is coming. I'm still making $12 million this year.
Yeah.
So I'm good. I'm good. Yeah.
But I just. The fact that you've got guys, it's frustrating that you have a guy like Hader who gets paid all this money to say, all right, well, I'm good in this situation, but that's the only situation I'm good at.
Right.
I don't play in a situation that's a tie game. Well, then, dude, we should lie to Hader. We should put him in a blindfold, and then when he comes in, we should just change all the scoreboards and tell him he's up one.
You're up
and
one.
We'll tell him it's the
go
ninth inning, and then just tell him to go get it.
Yeah.
I mean, this is crazy.
Yeah. No. You're right. You're right about sports psychiatrists saying maybe that's exactly what they need. This is getting ridiculous. Watching JV last night, I mean, it's just, that's JV.
But don't you think there that has to do with like a contagious attitude in the organization? I know. I mean, I'm not trying to go like deep
well,
meta
but you
here,
would, but to your point. There's so many guys, the Bregmans and the Altuves and the Yordans and the Tuckers and the, you know, and the Peñas that came have come up so clutch, and the biggest moments did not affect them. And this is?
Something is going on in that organization.
Well,
we don't know what it is.
Is it all the guys that we've lost?
Who?
Correa, Springer, Maldonado, Cole. I mean, who? We've lost a ton of guys.
Yeah, but
Morton.
But are you talking in terms of talent, or are you talking in terms of like leadership?
Leadership, clubhouse.
I'll give you. But like talent, no, because we've filled in the blanks. You know what I mean? But yeah, so maybe Maldonado. Why? Because Correa. Why? Because of his mound visit, his world famous mound visit. Get out of here with that.
Or listen, in the locker room too. I mean, he Correa would be all over this club.
Okay, right now. So maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's like, you know, Payne is not that guy.
No.
Bregman is a leader, but he's not that guy. Good Lord, we know Tucker's not that guy.
Altuve
is probably the only one that is that guy.
And nobody can listen to McCullers because he's never there. JV should be that guy.
Oh, but come on, dude. We're not really. JV's not that guy.
Well, yeah. No. JV should be telling everybody what the is wrong with you guys. Let's go.
But, dude, I mean, we know JV's history and his relationship with the guys in that clubhouse. JV's not that guy. Come on.
He's still the best. He's a Hall of Famer. And you listen to a Hall of Famer.
Of course he's a Hall of Famer, but, like, I just don't know how. I don't know how
good
of a relationship is between JV and the guys on that
team. I don't either.
Like, you know what I mean?
I know they were pissed when he wasn't there the whole year. They were pissed.
Yeah.
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 They were pissed.
And so, like, and I don't know. And so, like, you know, I don't know that that's a relationship that.
The thing,
you know.
McCullers is there all the time, and he makes great Spanish commercials, okay? But he's never there on the mound. So how can I listen to him?
Yeah. I mean, I think, honestly, it has to be a guy like Bregman. It has to be a guy like Altuve.
The 500 OPS guy?
Yeah, but he's still a guy that plays every day for you and has played every day for you through this run.
Yeah.
So, you know, if he's not going to stand up and be a leader.
Maybe he shouldn't be.
Maybe he shouldn't be at this point, right? I mean, with a 556 OBS. But he's got to be that guy. Altuve has to be that guy. Tucker's not going to be that guy. But clearly something is going on in that clubhouse.
How much are they missing Uncle Mike?
Uncle Mike's a huge, probably. Maybe even Beltran, even though he came with his own problems.
Well, then you can learn how to cheat better.
Then you can learn how to cheat, exactly. But somebody like Uncle Mike, for sure.
Yeah.
You know, but there's obviously a presence missing in that clubhouse.
Well, there's a lot of presence missing because we let everybody
Because right walk. Now, it is contagious and they are losing, and they don't even seem like they feel like they can win games. Even when you hear them talk, they're like, yeah, we'll turn it around. It'll be fine. It's like, dude, you know.
Listen, if Colorado in Mexico didn't give you the impetus to say, we got this.
Yeah.
Of course, it was Colorado.
They said that, though. Yordan said this was the start.
This is the start.
But it wasn't.
But it wasn't.
Yeah, well, you're playing one of the worst teams in baseball in a foreign country. You can't take anything from that.
But I mean, we have dominated the Yankees in Yankee Stadium. Like, that's usually where we go, and Altuve just, like, kills them. And you, like, we just got smoked. Absolutely smoked. And they smoked us when they were in Houston.
You know, yeah. Well.
But, like, we thought these road trips were the road trips where we thought, all right, you know what? Put them on the road. They'll go 8-2, and we'll be good.
Well, they did score 3 runs, which is not atypical in Yankee Stadium. What was atypical was giving up 10.
You mean the 10?
We don't do that. Two of the runs
we don't do
were
that.
In the bottom of the ninth, and they were on errors.
You mean
they were unearned.
You think the 10-0 run was a bigger deal than the scoring the 3? You know, when they scored, when Tucker hit a home run, then the Yankees ripped off 10 in a row.
Right.
Which is what Astros baseball's become.
That's what it. Well, that's the difference, though. Okay, we go to Yankee Stadium, we kick their ass because we pitch really well. We ain't doing that. Our best pitcher, the Hall of Famer, stunk, was awful, was throwing beach balls.
I just, Yeah, it seems like there's something bigger going on. And yeah. Also the injuries. And I know that, like, everybody's talking about, you know, injuries across baseball with pitchers. But, like, at what point do we start to look at our, like, our
whatever we're doing is wrong.
Like, our trainers and our strength guys and conditioning guys. Like, what are we doing or what are we giving them or not giving them? But, like, what is going or asking them to do? But
there's a new tremendous influx of shoulder injuries. Usually it's elbow, but now there's an influx with J.P. France. Again, J.V. was a shoulder. I think Urquidy was as well, if I'm not mistaken. It was his shoulder too, not elbow. So it's like what the hell is going? What is going on? All right, we got a break. 713-780-3776. Charlie wants to talk about Hollywood. Charlie, you're first up on the other side. Anybody else wants to talk about whatever? You're more than welcome. What's hot right now at Texas Star Grill Shop? Let's listen, 975grills.com. You got to join the club because the club gives you discounts at Texas Star Grill Shop that nobody else is getting. They're not putting this out in the public. You just join the club. You join the club at 975grills.com. If you are in the market for anything, even if it's just the things to clean your grills, they got everything. Eat meat, okay? When you join the club, you get discounts on everything at Texas Star Grill Shop. You get discounts. So join the club. Go to 975grills.com and get everything. Barbecue sauce. You want to go and you want barbecue sauce, you're going to get it at a better price. It's because everything at Texas Star Grill Shop is, when you join the club, you're different, okay? Guys, this is for us. I'm sorry, ladies. This is for the guys, okay? And we grill. This is what we do, okay? So join the club. And right now, you got a rust-resistant griddle from Weber. If you got a griddle outside on top of your grill, this is awesome. And this is rust resistant. So if you get a griddle outside, it's going to rust. Not this one. Okay. Rust resistant. You want rust on your food? No, you don't want rust on your You don't want rust on your food. And you got $100 off on this thing if you're in the club. You gotta be in the club. So go to 975grills.com and get this griddle outside. It's awesome. Do it now. Go to 975grills.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.